Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Stubbs to Address Life. I'm your host, Levon. What's buzzing, cousin?
Yo, what's going on, baby? How you doing, fam?
I'm good, fam. I'm good. You know, just chilling, literally and figuratively. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know about yours, but your boy is not a weather chaser. You know that, right? I don't mind the cold. I don't mind the heat. It is what it is. It is what it's supposed to be. And I rock with it. I'm not one of these cats that's like, oh, my God, I got to stay in the house because it got a little cold outside. I'm not one of these cats that's like, I got to stay in the house because it's too damn hot outside. That's just not my thing. But let me tell you something. You can keep this winter shit right here because, like, just a couple days ago, it was damn near 60 degrees, and your boy was like, oh, man, they're nice. And now we got this old boy shit going on right now, and it's going to be this way for a couple of days. Then it's going to go back. That's my issue. My issue is if you're going to be away, stay that way. Don't give me the good shit. Fuck it up with the bad shit. Then come back to the good shit. It's all this old flip-flopping back and forth bullcrap. You know, it kind of reminds me of Trump's presidency right now. It's just too much going on in the very beginning. It's just too much going on in the very beginning. And, you know, look, who but God knows, and that's where we leave that. But, damn, could you keep this shit a little while? Then that damn groundhog then seen his damn shadow. I think that's how I go, right? Groundhog saw the show, whatever. So supposedly we got another damn 6 weeks of winter. Now, I was on record, and I've said this a million and one times, even before now, I said this is going to be a mild winter, which we have had. We have had a very, 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 very mild winter. It's not really been that cold. We've had little to no snow, in all honesty, and it's fucking February, fam. I mean, when you think about it, let's be real, next week Saturday, it's damn near the middle of February. You know what I'm saying? If we just started February, but the next week Saturday, well, then it'll be the middle of February. Next week Saturday is the 11th. There's only 28 days in February. I mean, do the math. There's not that many days left after next week Saturday. But we're halfway through all this crap, and God willing, and the creek don't rise, we've still not had any major winter snow events here on the East Coast. So that, well, I'm sorry, here in the Maryland, D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia area. I do not count D.C. D.C. is not a fucking state. Get over yourselves. It's not even a goddamn city. Get over yourselves. It is a Federal Reserve.
So
just stop.
It's not on the map?
Stop. Yeah, it's on the map, but it's not a city. It's not an actual city.
But it's a
city.
Location on the map, man.
Yeah, okay. You're right. But so is Pineville, South Carolina, okay? Who's heard about that? Thank you very much. Anyhow.
And it still exists. Look,
that's like...
You too hard okay. On that nation capital, bro.
What the fuck is it? A word that's not a word. Like, I'm trying to think of a word that's not actually a word. One of my favorite words, which is, what do I say? I don't say notwithstanding. I always, because notwithstanding is actually the right thing to say. And I was like, damn, it comes to me. I can't even think about the shit right now. But it's a word that I use. It's not actually a fucking word. But, I say it and other people say it all the goddamn time. But that doesn't mean it's an actual fucking word. So it's not a word. You know what I mean? It's not a city. It's a Federal Reserve. It's not a city. You know, so campaign champion for statehood, not going to happen. Campaign, hell, it's not even a fucking city. First, you got to go from being a goddamn Federal Reserve to a city to a state. Not going to happen. But I can get stuck on that forever because it pisses me off. When people do this whole DMV shit, there's no fucking D to the M and the V. The M and the V are states. The D is not even a fucking city. Google some shit. Do some research. Understand what you're talking about first before you start spewing off at the damn mouth. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Hey, all right, so. I think you're taking this a little bit too hard. I think when people say the DMV, they're really talking about the location, the geographical location. It's more of like the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, not the state of D.C. I don't think that people are calling it a state. It's just a geographical location, man. Take a deep breath, bro. It's okay. It's going to be all right.
Yeah. No, they're trying to frame it like a tri-state or even look. D.C. geographically is in the fucking state of Maryland. So if you say Maryland, it's inclusive of D.C. D.C. is not separate. It's inside of the state of Maryland.
God,
you know what I'm saying?
Leave on.
Kansas, hold on now. Kansas and Colorado are separate. Colorado's here. Kansas is there. They're totally separate. Missouri, Kansas are separate. D.C. and Maryland are the fucking same. They're not separate. The land that makes up the Federal Reserve, again, not even a city, for D.C., the nation's capital, is in the state of Maryland. The remainder of the land, which is very little because Virginia decided to take their shit back, is in the state of Virginia. That's it. Seriously, there's no true Northeast D.C. isn't like it used to. No, that's not true. Northwest D.C. isn't like it used to be. It's not, because Virginia decided to take their shit back. So, no, it don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Stop it. But we need to be more concerned with the person or the persons in D.C. right now than that whole moniker and that whole bullshit. So Trump has come to town, and in 11 days, 10 days, what the hell? What has it been? It's been like 12, it's not even 30 days. It's not even 15 days. It's like 11 days, isn't it? 11, 12 days, some shit like that? Okay, he just fucked everything up. Now, that's a broad stroke, but understand that the implications of the things that he's done since he's been there truly have fucked everything up. So he gutted, He and the Republican Congress have gutted Dodd-Frank. Understand what Dodd-Frank did. After the housing crisis, 2007-2008-ish, Dodd-Frank was imposed so that subprime mortgages couldn't creep back up and crop back up and then, you know, go out to folk who really couldn't afford to own a home, who couldn't afford to buy a home, you know, or who could afford it, but they're going to pay interest at such a high level that it actually knocks them out the box from affording it because their credit score was low for whatever reasons they had, medical bills, school, unpaid cars, repossessed cars, whatever. Credit score is low, so the regular bank said, no, we're not going to give you a home. So here comes these subprime mortgages. Oh, yeah, we'll give you a home. We'll give you the money to get the home, but you're going to have to pay us some god-awful percentage on your home, 30-something percent, 20-something percent, whatever, high teens, whatever, on your home. So you never will own that home, honestly, unless you work like a freaking Hebrew slave in order to pay it off, subprime mortgages. So Dodd-Frank comes in and says, yo, no, we can't do this again because, look, this is a huge part of our economy. You know, we cannot jeopardize our economy because you all want to play with people's money and beat them out their money because that's what you're doing. Because initially, only thing you're paying off is the interest on the home. You're never even hitting the principal on the home. You know what I'm saying? Because the interest is so fucking high, only thing you're paying off is the interest. So the bank hasn't lost anything, honestly, because they've given you money that they've really never given you, and you're paying them back the shit that they still have. So it's really a hustle. So this was gutted. They come in and they go, they being the Republicans and Trump, they come in and they go and they take out regulations that prevent mentally ill folks, severely mentally ill folks, mentally challenged folks from purchasing firearms. How the hell is that smart? Who the hell does that protect? So these homegrown terrorists that we've had the Columbine, we've had Sandy Hook, we've had Oklahoma City. We've had
Paris.
The movie theater. No, I'm talking about the homegrown. Yeah. The nightclub down in Orlando. We've had the movie theater out in Arizona. We've had
the office in California.
There you go. We've had South Carolina at the church.
Yeah.
Dylan Roof down at the church. We had the bar shootout down in Texas.
We got Chicago.
We had Chirac. We have Chirac. We have Little Rock,
Baltimore.
Arkansas. We have Birmingham, Alabama. We have Baltimore, Maryland. We have Richmond, Virginia. We have I can go on and on and on and on and on. But you're going to make it more easy for someone who isn't stable to go out and now purchase a firearm. Yeah, that was smart. That was really, really, really smart. These judges come with all business. Regulations to prevent waste in waterways swept under the rug when ExxonMobil CEO took over as Secretary of State. ExxonMobil fought this regulation tooth and nail. Obama and his administration was able to pass it because they flexed their muscle. They like, yo, we're going to give you this. We need that. And this is what happened, a tit for tat. So we got the regulation passed, and Obama gave up on some things that we cringe and like, why the fuck did you give up? That's politics. That's how it goes. This joker comes through, sweeps the shit under. Again, hinting at what I've been saying, listen to me. This dude is not going to do 4 years. It doesn't make sense for him to do 4 years. Literal sense, figurative sense, the money isn't there. He is putting himself and his cronies in place to gut regulation, to remove obstacles from them to continue to make millions and billions of dollars. This is why the fuck this dude is doing what he's doing. This is why he's here. He sat back and was like, yo, this shit is crazy. I'm the fucking president. How am I going to work this into my favor? because I'm not ready to be president. Oh, shit, hold on, but I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this, and I can do that. Oh, yeah, let me rock this for about 18 months. Now, and I say that it's going to be about 18 months because, again, understand the man. The man is about his image. The midterm elections, I'm predicting, are going to be a sweeping election. How does he keep face save face in the wake of all that changeover and turmoil? He doesn't. What does he have to do? He has to Genesis himself. He has to get out before or directly after the midterm elections. And if he does it directly after, he can then claim, well, I was on my way out. I left the party up to them to handle it. They didn't do it well. Hey, I did my best while I was there. Remember, I did this, I did that, I did that, I did that.
Do you really think he cared about his image, though? Because not what I'm getting. I feel like he doesn't like to argue. He doesn't like to fight and fuss. You know, he doesn't like the mayhem. I don't think mentally he can you know, deal with those things. I really don't think he gives a damn about his image, because if he did, he wouldn't be doing the things he's doing. You know, he's condescending himself.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, please finish.
No, I'm saying like his condescending demeanor, his arrogance, doesn't suggest to me that he cares about his image in regards to the masses. He may care about his business image as far as his partners are concerned, or as far as his constituents, but in regards to the American people and the people who oppose him, he doesn't give a damn.
Huh.
As long as he's putting money concerned back in his friend's pocket, good.
Mm-hmm. He's concerned about his image, and I say that because let me use another word maybe then, his bravado, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have sent the White House press secretary. He wouldn't have sent him out there. It'll come to me. He would not have sent him out, Spicer. He wouldn't have sent Spicer out there within the first 2 days of his inauguration to fight over and argue about how large of a crowd size he had during his inauguration. Yeah, he cares. He definitely cares. He wouldn't have paid for the applause when he announced his candidacy. He wouldn't have paid for the applause when he was at the CIA down in Langley. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done that. So, yeah, he cares. He absolutely cares. You know what I'm saying? And this is why he does the things he does. Dude, this dude is so stuck on himself that it's ridiculous. It is scary how much he's stuck on himself, but he's stuck on himself. You know, he has to be the image of the best. Again, I've said this. I've stayed in his hotels. Nothing better of a hotel experience than staying in one of this dude's hotels. And I've stayed in a whole lot of hotels. A whole lot of hotels. But I have never, ever, 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 ever been in a room that is more comfortable than a room at a Trump hotel. Never. Never. Count the Bellagio in that. Count the Wynn in that. Count the Venetian in that. You can count them. Nope. The room itself, man, you talking about feeling at home. I mean, straight up feeling like you are at home. That is a Trump property. You know, now, the lobbies and all that type jazz, yeah, they're decent. You know, they're average. They're on par with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So you would get a better lobby at the Venetian. You would get a better lobby at the Wynn. You would get a better lobby at the Bellagio. You know, the whole walking in, the aesthetics is like, wow, this is just phenomenal. You walk into the Trump Hotel, it's like, okay, this is nice. You know, it's very nice. You know, nice chandelier. Da 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 da. Nothing really to just like wow you like that. But when you get to that damn room, man, look. I had hard times leaving, for real. I had hard times leaving the damn room. Like, yo, nah, I'm just,
but they're not his
stay.
Room, though.
I know. But you know, he's a man with his fingers on the pulse, because he's just that type of dude. So he approved it. You know what I'm saying? He didn't design it. He didn't go out and shop for it, but he approved it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I understand.
So how is it that he get credit for having these lavish rooms when they're not really his buildings, but D.C. can't be a state or can't be recognized as in the DMV? I don't understand that, Lee.
Okay. Hold on. What are you talking about? That's not his buildings. What do you mean by they're not his buildings?
You're right.
But he goes in with his team.
The hotels are run by other companies with his name on it.
Correct. A number of them. Some of them he actually does own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the profitable ones. Namely, the ones in Vegas, the one in New York. Those, the profitable ones he owns. The ones that do okay, yeah, he got out of those. I'm with you there. All right, so DeVos is moving along in her appointment process for the Secretary of Education. Now, remember, this woman has no formal training in education. This woman has no degree in education. This woman has never been a teacher. Her chieftain qualifications are her donation prowess to the Republican Party. Her donations have been centered around moving the stick forward in regards to privatization, school vouchers, charter schools versus public schools. She does not. She and her family do not believe in public schools. Now, from news report broke just yesterday, the switchboard at the Congress has never been as busy as it was. Ever up until this point for her. People calling to denounce her. They don't want her. You know what I'm saying? She has passed along party lines thus far. It goes to committee at this point. Well, it's out of committee now. Now it goes to full. She can still pass or get appointed because the Republicans have the numbers to vote. I'm not 100% sure that she will get through because a lot of folk on both sides of the aisle are rejecting her. She might, but I think this is going to be the toughest fight he's had with getting her through. And the sad part of this whole thing is I don't think he has a backup plan for her. You know what I'm saying? I really don't think he has a second or a third person lined up to take that spot if she doesn't get appointed. You know, I was reading about Ivanka Trump and how Nordstrom's pulled her line out their stores.
Yeah.
And it went on to link to another article about her in which the White House has basically become shut down to the public because she has yet to hire somebody to run the public affairs portion of the White House, right? You know, when the other administrations go out, new administrations come in, and you got to hire people. Like, most of those people don't stay. For whatever reason, they're loyal to whomever they were working for, and they're like, yeah, no, I'm good on that. I'm a dip. You know, I had my fun, but it's time to go. And I understand that. You know, it's like a personal assistant. You know, how would I go from being your personal assistant, cuz, to being somebody else's personal assistant? It's just like that I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, I see the train coming, the train switch tracks, and now all of a sudden I'm somebody else's personal assistant. If I got to eat, then, you know, I got to do what I got to do. But at the same time, it's like, is all money good money? Maybe I put myself in a good enough position to do other things. And 9 times out of 10, if you were that good, they're going to carry you with them. You know what I'm saying? You're going to transition out with them into their personal life. So you're still going to eat. The travel ban, I am in fear for our brothers and sisters who serve. And I said that after he got elected that I would continue to say a prayer for those folks because it is going to be serious soon. The world is preparing for war. Let's be honest. The world is preparing for war. China's doing its thing, setting up jump off spots in the Pacific. Russia's trying to come back, building up its army and its navy. China has launched a aircraft carrier, a huge fucking aircraft carrier, by the way. The world is definitely positioning itself for war. And this idiot could be the linchpin for that, to be honest with you, because he's an idiot. And sooner or later, he's going to say something or do something that's so offensive that, and he's not going to understand the ramifications of what he does. That's the other side of it. He's not going to understand the ramifications of what he does, and it's going to push us to the brink of war. I see it coming. I'm not necessarily saying a world war, but, man, look, the tea leaves are shaking, rattling, and rolling. This shit is not looking good. The lack of patience, the lack of diplomacy, the attack in Yemen, right? That killed the gunny. The chief petty officer, CPO, the chief petty officer, and the civilians. Now, supposedly, this was all mapped out by the Obama administration. You notice how much they talk about the Obama administration here lately? You know, like the travel ban.
No, just like you were going into with the travel ban and, you know, and the raid that was executed. These were things. Well, the travel ban was something that Obama, it wasn't even a travel ban. Obama had these particular countries as threats or potential threats, a watch list of some sort, not a witch hunt to say, hey, look, these folks. That wasn't what President Obama and his administration did. They acknowledged that these seven countries were places of concern. So the execution of this travel ban is all on the Trump administration. Now, regards to this mission, the mission was, again, plotted out through the Obama administration. They felt like they had some intel that they wanted to retrieve from, you know, in this raid, but they didn't pull the trigger because of not having enough intel, not having enough, they didn't have the feeling that it would be executed appropriately. So they didn't pull the trigger on it. So you can blame President Obama or try to, you know, deflect it to President Obama all you want to, but the guy, you're the one who made the call. You know, if you come up with a plan, Lee, to have a bank robbery, and I take all your plans, and I execute the bank robbery, and I kill seven people, is it your fault? I'm not.
Nope.
With you. This was 2 years after I said something about it. You did it on your own.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? That's the lame thing about this administration, man. They lame as hell.
And the United States of America only has one president at a time. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
President Obama is no more. You know, we only have President Trump. The commander in chief is President Trump. Though I hate saying those words out of my mouth. The commander in chief is President Trump.
Oh.
So it's his green light that these jokers have to abide by. Now, he gave the thumbs up. He gave the vote of confidence, whatever, to those plans, and they were executed. In the midst of that, we lost lives, both civilian and military, that should not have been lost because, as you said, fam, the planning wasn't complete. They didn't feel like they had enough information to do it. But here goes old guts and glory. Everybody else's guts, just his glory. He comes charging in. Oh, yeah, let's make it happen. Really? Okay. This is your first order as commander-in-chief, and look at how this shit went. Do you really think you have the full support and buy-in now from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, from that soldier, sailor, airman, marine, longshore person, whatever, that have to follow your lead? Do you really think you have their full buy-in now? Nah, Jack. That wasn't a good move. In no way, shape, or form was that a good move. You know what I'm saying? But What you going
to do? But it doesn't matter.
America,
it doesn't matter if they have buy-in, no, because all he's going to do is fire you if you don't agree with him.
If you disagree, right? If you disagree. All right, well, look, time of transition. We have a guest with us today. The show today, in outside of the politics, outside of the Super Bowl talk, outside of the NCAA bracketology, Coach K returning to the sideline, go Duke, is about sex.
Boo him.
Sex. And yeah, whatever. Hate the greatness. It's all right. I can live with it. It's about sex and alternative lifestyles in respect to sex. So I reached out to my man Daniel, and because he had some pictures up on Facebook, and I was like, dude, what is this all about? And he reached back to me. He was like, oh, you know, I've been exploring with a dom and submissive lifestyle for some time, and, you know, I've really got into it, and this is me. And I was like, oh, that's up. Well, you know, I would love for you to come on and talk about it. So he was like, yo, tell me when. Good morning, fam. This is when. Good morning, Daniel. Daniel?
Did we lose him?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's
going on, people?
I'm well. How are you, fam? Good morning to you.
I'm good, man. I've been listening. I keep telling everybody,
okay,
instead of looking at these reality shows, y'all need to watch CNN, because this shit is about
yeah,
being real.
Man.
Hey, yeah, for real,
right?
Show on TV right
now, them ratings is high,
cause man. Ever since I and the thing is, I told everybody the things I do at work. I don't talk about politics. I don't talk about sex with all these women. But the thing is, I told them Trump is gonna win. We gonna be in trouble, and everybody's like, he's not my president. Okay, watch what happens.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I was listening.
Yeah.
Man. It's about to get real, man. I mean, I keep CNN. I don't even watch ESPN no more in the morning. I watch CNN because working for Hopkins, it's like all this stuff is federally funded and everything. So you know, this stuff is like crazy, man. But other than that, what's going on? How y'all feeling?
We're feeling great, yeah, brother. How are you feeling?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm good right now, man. I'm blessed. I'm trying to make things meet. Working on my website. My website should be up by the end of February. For building my BDSM furniture and toys. Like I said, we saw each other. We linked up, and now I'm here to talk to you about anything you want to know.
All right. So BDSM, Sam. All right. First off, what got you into it?
Well, I got into it right after high school to some extent. Going out there,
really?
Thought I was, yeah, man, right after, like, out there, when I left for college, man, I met this older lady, and this older lady was like, yo, you sexy and everything else, but I'm gonna take you to certain places, man. And this lady, what was it? I was like 20? She was like 35, 36. So out and about, she was taking me to, I don't know if I can cuss, so I apologize. But like swinger parties first, then she taught me how to do certain things, and then hanging with the white people, it was like, went to alternative clubs. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And with the whips and chains, I knew the basics. But coming from a church-going brother, I was like, this stuff excites me. So, you know, it started off like choke.
The devil's nectar.
Right, choke me, tie me up. And then it got to a point of, you know, doing other things to her, and I got hooked on it. Then when we broke up, I went back to, we call it the vanilla world, so the everyday life, without doing any of that. But I was missing it. I was missing it and missing it and missing it. So I, you know, got married, 10 years of the marriage. She was bitching, fussing, arguing, whining, everything else, but I was still missing that niche. I was missing, you know, that scene and everything. So we got to a point, you know, after the divorce and everything else, I went back in it, and I've been in it for about 11 years now. So 11 years in the BDSM, and then 7 years in the swingers lifestyle.
Man, so you just
all right,
you put me on a journey just now, man. We went from high school, so you dating this older woman, to getting married, to getting divorced, back to the whips and chains and shit. That was a ride just now, man. And it's interesting when you hear you know something like this, the way that people talk about a lifestyle. It really is a lifestyle, man. So that's what's so intriguing about it. To me, it's not about hey, how can I do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't getting whipped and shit. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I whipped my ass. You know what I'm saying? But,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting, man. So I'm really interested to hear more what you got, you know, about this lifestyle, man. So go ahead, cuz.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead and say what you want to say. Then I want to get into what's the difference between the swinger lifestyle and the BDSM lifestyle. So I want you to break that down, but please finish your comment.
Okay. Well, basically, think of it this way. Every day you do a certain thing. You do a routine. Routines are basically, back in the 1960s, you know how your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother treated your grandfather. No matter, like, because my grandfather was an asshole. So basically, but he was still the man of the house. So basically she got up, she cleaned up the house, she did everything that she's supposed to do with the family and everything else. But when he came in, he was the dominant man of the house. He was the alpha man. Basically it's just like that. BDSM is basically just like the subject of math. It's wide range. Everybody does it a different way. So if you know 100 people that's in the BDSM, they do it 1,000 different ways. My household is not run like everybody else's household, and that's how we see it. There is no BDSM Bible of Law. There is no 50 Shades of Grey handbook or anything else. It's how you perceive it as being, as a dominant man and a submissive woman to me. When it comes to other people, when it comes to submissive women to submissive, you know, well, to dominant women, it could be any types of women. But right now, I am a dominant man with a poly family that is BDSM enforced and lifestyle friendly.
Man, that was a lot.
You just gave us a whole lot, but I'm digging it. I'm digging it. All right, so. So you have a poly family, correct?
Right. I have.
Okay,
know,
so
well, first of all, I say it like this. I'm single. I was single by choice. They don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
I belong. They belong to me. I don't belong to them. Being poly means having more than one submissive, or back-end
mm-hmm.
wives, or back-end slaves. BDSM enforced is to me. I'm not your man, I'm not your boo, I'm not your lover. I am your dom, I am your sir, I am your master. When it comes to lifestyle friendly, because of my business and because of me doing BDSM, I do demonstrations. I go on,
mm-hmm.
I go to parties and lifestyle events and swinger events, bring my toys and I do demonstrations. I talk to people about the BDSM. I do scenes
mm-hmm.
like candle wax and things like that to them. So that's why I say it's lifestyle friendly.
Okay. All right. So I asked again, and I want to get to this, and I want to touch it quickly because I don't know how this whole thing works, so I'm not trying to be disrespectful to your submissive, but I want to ask you permission. Because again, I don't know how this whole thing works, so I want to, you know, make sure I'm doing it right. And again, I'm not saying this to be disrespectful to her. I know she can hear me, because I don't know how it works. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I want to ask permission to bring her in and have some conversation with her as well. But please differentiate between the swinger lifestyle and the BDSM.
Okay, well, the swinger lifestyle is basically, of course, back in the day. You know, people when they're married couples, they go to parties and they swap. They swap wives out. Back then, that's what it is. BDSM is not sexual. It can be. It could be a sexual dom or anything else. But BDSM is more of submission, giving yourself to someone unconditionally. Yes, sex is involved, but swinging is 100% sex. BDSM is more of mental. Is she submitting to you no matter what? Of course, and I'm going to say it this way, being a submissive is the strongest mentally thing, because I know lawyers, I know doctors, I know police officers that are submissive. They don't want to be in control all the time. When it comes to certain things, they want to, like, even sexually. Some people does it purely sexually. So, to me, swinging is 100% sexual. It's 100% giving yourself to them. When it comes to BDSM, it's more of a control factor. For example, I'm going to give you one example. Just say you blue loving right now with this chick. This chick is, like, so hot. So she say to you, baby, in the morning, if we're not laying together, I want to get pictures from you. I want to get a good morning before you get off social media. I want a text from you before 9 o'clock because you know I gotta go to work. Will you send her a text?
Yeah.
You'll say yes, right? So answer.
So
he's sending you. Wait. Let me finish. So then she'll say to you, yo, send me a sexy picture, like what you got on before you go to work. You know, you turn me on, you know what I'm saying? What you gonna do? Send the picture, right? At 1 o'clock, I go to lunch. Baby, let's talk. See how your day going. See how everything going, and see what you're doing later on today. You're going to do that because you are boomed up. You're in love. You know what I'm saying? Then at 5, 6, 7, we talk about certain things. That's fine. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, before 11, you know I'm sleepy as shit, babe. I'm sleepy as shit. So can you send me the night before you get off before you get on Facebook, or I want to be the last person you talk to. And send me one of them sexy pictures of what you got on right now. You want to say yes, right? Do you see the way that I said it? All that stuff, women would be like, yes, baby, yes, dear. Or while I'm stroking you, can you call me daddy while I'm stroking you? Of course. What if it's a change of, this is what I want, these are my rules. If you don't do these rules, you're going to get disciplined. I want a picture. Before you get on Facebook, I want a good morning, sir. I want a good morning, master, before you get on Facebook. If you get on Facebook, you're going to get disciplined. If you, before you leave your house, I want a picture. If I don't like what you have on, you're going to go back and change. Just say it that way. At 1 o'clock, when I go to lunch, I better have a text or you need to call me to tell me what you're doing later on the day, how you're doing it, what you're doing it, and who, what, when, and where. Before you get off of Facebook, I want to be the last person you talk to, so go have fun on Facebook. But you want to get off at Facebook at 10 o'clock or social media at 10 o'clock. And I better get a good morning. Good night. Or you're going to get disciplined. You see the difference?
Hey, real quick, do you find some of these women, these submissives, doing shit on purpose to get disciplined? Like, you know what? Fuck him. I ain't gonna send that text message. I want him with my ass. Like, does that happen?
Of course. That's between being a sadist and being a masochist. A sadist is someone that loves inflicting pain. See, I'm a sadist. I get turned on. I can get hard when I'm whipping ass. A masochist is someone that get aroused by being smacked, being hit, being grabbed up. A lot of these women these days love an aggressive alpha male. But it's the difference between abuse and whipping ass. There's a major difference.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think, they think they're about that life because they getting hits on the back and smacking on your ass. You think you're about this life because you watch 50 Shades of Grey. Some of these people live this every day. It consumes them. Just like everyday life. And with that, for example, right now, she is downstairs. She's downstairs cooking breakfast. She's downstairs cleaning up. She already sorted out my clothes and everything else. But didn't your mother do that in the 50s? Didn't your mother do that in the 60s, the 40s? A lot of these people these days in this society, women are so independent that they don't see the nurturing of a household. It's hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
And all this stuff she does because she wants to do it, not because I gave her rules.
Here was my question I was going to get in. So you said if you do this or you don't do that, you will get punished. Can she wear the little schoolgirl outfit, though, cause with the knee highs?
It's all about the kink, bro. It's all about what you want. Everybody.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
she wears, you know, T-shirt, pants, all that stuff. But
right. It's
what your rules in your household want to be. Now, the thing is, these rules have to be in the vetting process. The vetting process is just like when you start out dating. She's asking you what turns you on, what you like to do. They're also called hard limits and soft limits. I mean, this is a wide range of things that before you want to get into it, you need to find out what you are in this dynamic.
Okay. All right, so let's pause for 1 second. If you want to get in the conversation, 818-691-7348. Again, 818-691-7348. If you want to talk, please hit the number 1. That tells me that you want to talk. I will speak to you in the screening room first, and then I'll bring you onto the show. Cool. So, again, you've thrown a lot out there. BDSM, swinger lifestyle, sadist, masochist, hard limits, soft limits, 50 Shades of Grey, you know, obviously. So, but again, when we ran into one another, let's be real, that was the first thing that ran through my mind. You know, 50 Shades of Grey, I saw the movie. It was a pretty decent movie. I understood that it was very passionate. You know, the exchange between the two was very passionate, and I was truly digging that. So, you know, when you first told me, again, ignorant me because I don't know a lot, I'm thinking, damn, this is some great-ass sex. You know what I'm saying? But now you came back and you cleaned it up. It's like, yo, it's not all about the sex. It's about the control factor. That's what's up. I mean, I understand that people don't always want to be in control. I'm one that makes a lot of decisions all day, every day. I don't always have to make a damn decision. I say that loudly and clearly, frequently. Like, I do not have to make every damn decision. I do not mind if someone else makes a decision. I will roll with it. You know, now if it's something that I think that is not safe, then I'll speak to that. But other than that, you know, shit, let's roll. You know, hey, I'm not always the smartest dude in the room. I can live with that. Now, you said that doctors, lawyers, other professionals, you have run across in exploring this side of your life. Now, I want to take you back a little more too, because you also said you were married for 10 years, but during your marriage you were missing it. Was it something? How did you meet your wife? Was she outside or inside of the life when you met her? And if she was outside, I know this is a lot. If she was outside, did she ever show any interest in coming in or no?
No. What happened was that I actually met her at a club. She was, we call them vanilla women, those people that are not in the lifestyle. When when we were out and about, she was very independent. She was awesome. You know, she was focused. We were building the house and everything else. But the thing is, with her, she was always, and I'm going to say it this way, always back-talking, always thinking her opinion matters. And back then, she came from a very strong women, independent, sits up in the air, feminist group. And she made me who I was. I was a young kid, you know, late back then. We was Foot Locker, Jordans, you know, wasn't looking in the future.
That was the shit. Right.
Right. So
that moment was the shit.
Right. So now, back then, now it's to a point that I was focusing on family. I was focused. So that was my substitute of I'm an alpha male. I'm going to get married. Let me run my house. Let me do 80 hours of work so we can get where we need to be. But what happened was I was missing the kink. Of course, women get set in their ways, or we all get set in the ways. We wasn't having sex. We wasn't doing this. We was always fussing, you know, fussing, arguing, fighting. But we were the Joneses in front of people. If you saw us out in public, people was like, you got this $500,000 house. You got three cars and everything. Every time we got home, we were bickering. We were fussing. And then I told her about my lifestyle. She was like, hell no. I'm not going to never submit to you. By then, because she thought, right, she saw it as, oh, you ain't going to punk me. What do you mean? I mean, your mother is a submissive woman. Your grandmother is a submissive woman. You're, I mean, everybody back in the, and I keep bringing it up. If you look at these, for example, these movies, like Jackie Robinson movie, you see how supportive his wife was. Even Muhammad Ali, these older women that were supporting, but held them down. They made them feel like that they were number one, but the wives ran the house. And it was nothing wrong with that.
You know, I think that those women, to me, were even more strong.
Absolutely.
Right. To me, submissive women, to me, is stronger than any woman out there because they humbled themselves to be directed by someone else. Sia, you know, I love her to death because I love her because she gives up her submission. Every day, all day, when she clocks in, she's a manager. She's big boss. She's a boss, lady. She's fussing, arguing with people and everything else. So when she gets here, she's ready to shut down. She pay attention and listen. It's a release for her. Lee, she's on the phone now. I think she called in.
I was about to ask, is she up yet? Or is she near you so she can see? All right. I'm not 3-3? 3-3?
Hold on.
Well, 3-2. If she hits the number one, I can see her better. I got her. Good morning, sis. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
Outstanding. So we've spoken a lot of. Yes, welcome to the show. Okay. We've spoken a lot about you, but we haven't spoken to you yet. We were very much interested in speaking to you. My name is Lee. That's Cuzzo. That's the one that said welcome to the show. So we've talked to Daniel. Had a very good conversation with Daniel. I know you've caught some of it. But what the questions for you pretty much are the same. What sparked the interest in for you to get into the lifestyle?
I was married. I lived a normal vanilla life. I always told my mom, I'm not going to have any kids until I get married. I'm going to do it the quote-unquote right way. I did that.
Uh-huh.
And it was unsatisfying for me. I tried. I've tried everything. I tried to tell them the things that I liked, tell them the things that I wanted. I was completely submissive. I did whatever he wanted me to do in hopes that he would, you know, at least, you know, give me some pleasure out of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not work for me. So I got to a point in my life where, you know, after getting divorced and being a single mom and being on my grind for my child and myself, I got to a point where, you know, I realized that it was time for me to be happy. So this is a great release for me, a wonderful release. I have never been happier before in my life.
Okay.
Now, my happiness is definitely based on making him happy. If he's not happy, I'm not happy. My pleasure comes from pleasing him.
Huh. A mental note to self. You need to. Hold on, cuz. Mental note to self. You need to get your shit in order with this life. I'm sorry, go ahead. I've been fucking up. I don't know what the hell I've been doing. I've been doing this shit wrong.
I've been doing this for almost 11 years. And a lot of things and a lot of people came in and said they were about this life. To me, because of her, and I'm going to say her past and everything else, a lot of people can't do this. They can't do it.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people think, like I said, it's purely 50 Shades of Grey, sexual shit. Nigga, I'm not Christian Grey. I'm broke. Right now, we're struggling. And all that stuff on you know, looking for that certain person. I found who I enjoy. We are a unit. We are a team. When it comes to Kinder Strokes Toys, she is a part of that business also. So we are trying to make a better for both of us.
That's
she just
up.
Let me do the lead. That's and let me control. That's all.
That's what's up. Okay. Now I got to get back to her, fam. All right, so sis, how long have you been in the lifestyle? What is the you already said that. You said the best part for you. But how long have you been in the lifestyle?
It's been about 5 years for me.
Okay. Okay. Now, is this something that you see that you think you want to perpetually do?
There is no guessing about it. This is my lifestyle. This is the way I will be until I die. I deserve to be happy.
Okay. Now this question is for both of you all. I understand that you, Dane, you said you're single. Sis, you're obviously single. And I'm not trying to start no mess between the two of you, but is marriage something that either of you want to do? And it doesn't have to be to each other. I'm just talking about in general. Is marriage something that either of you want to do? Again?
Dad, you want to answer that first?
No. I would love to get married. I would love to get married again, but my dynamic will never change. I already did the single monogamous fussing and arguing relationship. Me, I want to live this all day. I know a lot of brothers that does this every day.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I wasn't trying to change the dynamic. I just wanted to know if that was a potential. You know what I'm saying? Again,
yes.
I got you. Please understand that where we come from on this show, nothing is undoable. Not doable, I should say. You know what I'm saying? We are we are very much open to every and anything. So I'm with you on that. And the only reason I wanted to cut you off on that, because we only have 2 hours and it's a whole lot of things that we want to get to, and we can go off on tangents and we can lose time. Sis, how about you?
Go ahead.
Of course I would love to get remarried, but as he stated, it would be within a dynamic. I would never go back to a vanilla marriage.
Gotcha. All right, now, Kelly, do you have any questions?
It was something that was on my mind. It's within it, but it's kind of off spectrum a little bit. I heard the young lady mention she had a child. How does that fit with being a parent? How does your lifestyle fit, you being a parent?
My child is 18, so that kind of works out for me at the moment. Before that, I will say that the previous dynamic that I was in, I did not bring my child around him. He did know about me dating someone, but I did not tell him the specifics of what it was. He's at the age where I would be okay with telling him, and he would be able to comprehend and understand that.
See, but my children are younger.
Okay.
My children is younger. He's 18, 19. My children are 12 and 5. They don't know what daddy does. They don't need to know. When she's here, she's Miss Thea. She's my girlfriend in front of them. If it was 2 or 3, it would just be Miss Thea and Miss whoever. And they will, she loves my children like they are. I love her son like he's mine. They don't have to know any of that, of the lifestyle. So that's how we keep it.
Now, in the poly,
can I just add something to that?
Yes, please.
As far as a subservient woman, my son has seen that. So I don't think that this would be as off-putting, because he has been around nothing but strong women that would take care of home and their man and their family. So it wouldn't be, far-fetched for him to understand that.
Okay. Now, as far as the poly dynamics is concerned, because you mentioned that you said if it's more than one, how do you all handle that when you're alone and or the children are around? How do you handle that?
Right now, it could be in two different ways. I'm looking for a team. I'm not even gonna lie. It's just like a business deal. It's team tender strong.
Mm-hmm.
One is my right hand, one is my left hand. One, like with Thea, Thea is more of the household. She takes care of the household and everything else. My left hand will be pertaining to the business, tender stroke toys. Now, two ways we can do it. When we find them and they're all team players and everything else, yes, we're all going to call in this together. One big happy family. If not,
that's what's up.
It's going to be two separate. It's going to be two separate transactions. It's going to be Thea is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then Tuesday. But it's all about communication. It's all about keeping it up front. Don't sugarcoat nothing, because remember, these are still women. Women have feelings also. Of course, they run off of this off of feelings. So if I sit here and lie to her or don't tell her certain things, of course, some of her choice, some of her stuff and lifestyle, she's going to change.
Right.
So I tell her the truth about everything. Look, baby girl's coming over, or such and such is coming over. I need A, B, C it done, and things like that. So that's how I run mine.
Now, is it like a ranking system or a hierarchy system, or everyone is equal playing?
for like I said, everything is my household. So a lot of people can have it any way you want. With me, it's
okay.
an equal system. It's equal.
Okay,
because
gotcha.
If you start treating,
gotcha.
Do you treat your kids differently? You love them both equally.
I love him to say, but I damn sure treat him differently. Cause that oldest one, that boy right there, yeah, that's a lead paint case. I just look at his ass and be like, ooh, I don't know where I went wrong with your ass, but you know the other ones, I'm like, yeah, we good, but that one right there, yeah, not so much. This is why, in all honesty,
another topic of discussion. It's a whole topic of another
actually. We had that discussion last week, believe it or not. We talked about fathers and fatherhood and how we relate to one another and how we relate to our sons. But that's why, in all honesty, my cousin, the one that we're talking to right now, he's my beneficiary. So I love him the same, but I treat him differently. I look at that motherfucker and be like, no. Yeah, I love him.
He might be your twin, too. He's probably your twin.
Yeah, for real, right?
He is.
For real, right?
He
but
is.
It's all good. That's probably. Okay, so, have you ever partaken in the swinger lifestyle or you're strictly into the BDSM?
I have. I briefly for about 3 months. I did. I tried it after coming out of another dynamic. Just wanted to test the waters, and that's not really for me. Though we are poly.
What made it not for you? We are
definitely poly, but I will not have sex with another man.
Okay, understood it. Hold on. You said another man. I'll leave that question for Cuz, because I caught on to that.
Yeah,
ahead,
I said
ahead,
another
cause.
Man.
Yeah, okay.
So,
okay.
How about
another woman? How about another woman?
If daddy brings someone in and...
Damn!
We connect. Absolutely.
Damn. I need to be daddy. All right, I'm writing notes now. I got to take my notes. I got to keep this stuff for the research department for later on. I just thought I'd be the chief of the research department, by the way. All right, so, Cuz, you had a question? I'm sorry.
No, actually, she asked my question in regards to not having sex with another man.
Okay.
But see, the thing is, let me stop that right. She chooses not to. When it comes
to our discussion
and everything of being in this lifestyle, she chose not to. You know, that was a good thing for me. But when it came to the of the couple swapping and stuff, if we see a couple that we're interested in, of course, the option is there. But if she just wants a girl, I'll tell the dude the truth. Bruh. She just wants your wife. So I'm not in it. You're not in it. But it's all about the, like I keep saying, communication and respect factor.
All right. So, Cuz, you were asking the question and you stopped. Your question to the sister was, what made swinging not your lifestyle? Hold off. Don't answer that question right. Not your thing, but don't answer that question yet. The other side to that is, in addition to that, how communal is the lifestyle? Meaning, you talked about the swinger clubs and stuff. Are there events or clubs or get-togethers in any shape, form, or fashion for beginners, I want to say? How do I get an invite? No, I'm sorry. I'll ask that question later in a more personal way. But that's an honest question. How do you find out about this stuff? Is it the wink wink handshake? What the heck is going on? So the first one is, why did you not feel like the swinging lifestyle was for you?
With the swingers lifestyle, I would definitely suggest that people, not all of them follow this, but you don't go in looking for a connection. And I wanted a connection. So that it just wasn't for me. I wanted a connection. I wanted to feel comfortable because I'm naturally submissive. So I wanted to feel comfortable with giving my submission to someone. And no offense to the men in the swingers lifestyle, because I'm friends with many of them. That's just not the arena for it.
Swingers is definitely more about smash and dash.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
And see, since I'm so submissive, I'm aiming to please all the time.
Gotcha.
And which means that I may not be getting pleased in return, but, I mean, with him, I don't care about that because my pleasure is coming from knowing that I'm pleasing him. And I know that he appreciates that.
Daniel?
Yeah.
She got a cousin or something? I mean, a sister, auntie? I mean, you know, hook a nigga up.
Bro, I keep telling her, you know, I've been through, and I'm going to say it this way. I've been through a lot of women. I've been through a lot that says they're about this life. But I always throw curveballs in it and tell you that you're not about this life. If you say you're about this life, and I say, can I spit in your face? Can I punch you in your eye? Can I pee on you? And you say hell no to any of those, that means you're not about this life, because giving your submission to someone is letting someone do anything that he wants. And a lot of people can't handle that. I'm not going to punch you in your face. I'm not going to hit you in your eye.
Right.
But what if I felt like I wanted to smack the shit out of you? Because it's my turn on. And you say hell no, you're not going to let you do it. That's fine. You're just not the person for me. So that's part of it. And with the swinger situation, I forgot the question that you asked. I've been around them
That was strictly for her, to be honest with you. The other questions were, how communal is the BDSM lifestyle? Are there events in any form or fashion? Are there clubs that you go to? How do you find out about this stuff? You know, is it a secret wink, a secret handshake? I mean, what's...
Right. Okay, back then, of course, back in the day, there were fraternally white clubs and everything else. Everything was, back then, a secret handshake. You had to know somebody of knowing someone to get into it. And now everything is so freely. They do have local dungeons that are out and about. We volunteer at Baltimore Playhouse. If you look it up, they'll give you the right way to do the BDSM. If you get on Facebook and all these nudie sex groups and stuff like that, they consider themselves swingers. I put my two fingers up in the air, my two hands in the air. There's a lot of parties. I mean, if you look at my Facebook page, because that Facebook page that I have right now, I call it, that's my porn page. That's my porn page. That's my, I can say whatever I want page on that. I am technically in a 175 groups in this area alone. There's parties every day. They could have parties next door to your house, and you don't even know. So it's friends of a friend of a friend. But these days, social media and other media outlets, I'll say this, it dilutes the lifestyle. Yeah, I love it. It's easy access, but it dilutes the lifestyle because you like fucking doesn't make you a swinger. Because you like getting smacked on the ass doesn't make you a BDSM. Some of these people,
I'm sorry, I got to get this in. That was the question I wanted to ask you just now was, you know, with your quote-unquote swingers comment, how do you deal with or what are your feelings in regards to people who try to use the swinger title as a avenue to be a hoe? Because there is a difference.
Okay, there's most definitely a difference. Because if you went back in the day, if you were a swinger, two things. You was not a single man. There were single women and couples only. When you go to events, you have a membership. Just like all these 50 Shades of Grey stuff, if you look it up in these houses, you will have to have a membership. Half of these people in this lifestyle will probably would not be in it because these days you can't have weed. They're not 420 friendly. You can't have a lot of drinks there. You have to have a STD tested. So if you go into one of those exclusive swanky clubs, half of these people would not even make it through as a true swinger. Fuck party, you can go to a hotel, get a hotel room, a whole floor, right. Suck and fuck all day, fuck up like a rock star, and then go home and go to church the next day.
Amen.
Okay.
For Facebook, everybody's a group owner. If my cousin can have four Facebook groups and he thinks he's P. Diddy, then these group owners ain't. I mean, I'm a group owner myself, but I've been doing it for long enough that you have to have certain rules. To be a single man, they can make $100 off you off the bat.
Yeah, yeah, because I've been made aware of situations where you had to pay upwards of $50 to $75 to get into a spot if you're a single dude. But if you come with a lady, then it's totally different. Okay,
right.
I've always wanted to peep in, just to see. You know, it's really the journalist in me. I want to just see it. It'd be like, okay.
Well,
I wouldn't front and be like I wouldn't be turned on by someone because you know I like big ass. So if I see a fat ass walking around, I don't give a damn what's going on. I'm like, oh damn, she got fat ass, and that's gonna turn me on. But other than that, you know, it's like whatever. You know, honestly, I'm an ass dude. I'm not a breast dude. You got a big old ass walking around and just you know, you know what I'm saying. I'm a loser, but that's just my thing. Go ahead, fam. I'm sorry. You're trying to get in.
Yeah, it depends on where you go at and who you associate with. Because I know a lot of good BDSM, you know, groups on Facebook to learning and training. I also know a lot of swinger events also that are good in with the training. But if I feel like I want to be a hoe, I go to the whole party. If I feel like, you know, being an adult and, you know, do it the right way, I'll go to those parties. So it depends on what you are. But, yeah, a lot of people use it as an excuse to suck and fuck and have fun and everything else. But other times, if you're going to be a hoe, you're going to be a hoe.
I want to know something, too. And we'll start to wrap up with these couple of questions now. How big of an age difference are there between you two? Is who's older?
Actually, I am a month older than him.
Oh, that's fucking huge.
All right, now is yeah, for real, right? That's mute like all hell. Do you all see a huge percentage of young folks getting into the life? Is it still mid to older folks? Are there a lot of black folks?
Oh, if
black people are into BDSM, you'd be really surprised. There are plenty of people of color BDSM groups.
Mm.
And the ages vary.
When we go to the Baltimore Playhouse, their Dungeon set, there's a lot of, you know, white people, but it's also a lot of, like, last night, they looked like they was, like, in their mid-20s, all the way up to the 70s, to the 80s. Everybody's there. There's no type of judgment. There's no type of thing. I mean, the things that you see there would just satisfy anybody's fancy. but you have to have a open mind. You have to be welcome to
right.
certain things. You have to be
right.
to a point that, yeah, this shit is probably scared of shit of you more than scared of shit of yourself. But some of the things, you just have to keep an open mind.
Okay. Right, well, Fab, you have any closing questions or remarks?
No, I'm done. I'm texting somebody right now.
Yeah, I was pretty much doing the same. I was trying to set something up after this one. But, Daniel, honestly, man, please drop the information for your website and your toy line. We definitely want to get that out for you. And, sis, we appreciate your time. We really do. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we look forward to
I appreciate
speaking
it, man.
To
look,
again.
If you need me to come on and talk about anything else, just let me know. My website will be up at the end of February, and that's www.tenderstrokestoys.com. You can hook me up. You can look me up on Facebook. You can do Daniel Harrison or Daniel Long Dong Wong. Just trust me, I tried to change it. I tried to change it. It won't let me change it. It was a joke, and then I got stuck with it. Then, or you can go on.
At least you didn't get stuck with it.
Facebook page. You can like my page, and that's Tender Stroke Toys. And we make customized BDSM toys and furniture by hand. If you're looking for floggers, paddles, I do fraternity paddles too, and sorority paddles, floggers, whips, chains, automobiles, car engines. So,
really?
Hey, man, my hustle, I'm trying to hustle. Trying to get my,
there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, my tax information before Trump comes in and mess everything up.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's too late for that, bro. But you know, you know what I'm saying? Ivanka might, well, he might need it for when he goes to visit Putin again. But anyhow, thanks, family. We appreciate, again, the door is always open, so I appreciate you leaving it open to us as well, because we will definitely have to circle back. We would definitely
circle back. Let me know, man, and I'll happy to take any comments, questions, concerns, and just hit me up, man.
Hey, thank you for your time. We really do appreciate it. I'll call you later.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, take it. Have a great one. All right, so, cuz, we're going to talk about this Super Bowl that's coming up because your boys are lining up against the Patriots to take to go into Super Bowl 51 down there in Houston. And who you got? You got the Dirty Birds or you got the Pats?
Yo, the Dirty Bird is back in effect. I got the Dirty Birds 35-24.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You took me with that one. I did not see that as being that high. I mean, I'm taking the game. I'm saying 27-17. I think it's going to be between a 10 or 7 point difference in the game. I'm taking the Patriots only because you cannot bet against Belichick. And you know this ignorant bastard is going to go into the rule book. He's going to want to pull out some obscure rule to where some player that's usually not eligible now becomes eligible as a receiver, and he runs downfield and scores a damn touchdown, like, on the third play of the game. And it's like, oh, holy shit, really? Whoever would have thought about some shit like that? But, you know, you get Billy Chick
time.
They're going
to take out two of the laces on the footballs and shit.
You know, I mean – the play when they played us and the dude jumped over the center in order to block the field goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, who does some shit like that? But again, Belichick, he grabs a guy, he knows the guy is really athletic, boom, boom, boom. He showed you this play before. So now you're going into the Super Bowl thinking, like, they're going to do this again. They're going to do this again. And now they put it in your mind they might do it again. So now they set up the defense to, if you fake it, they're going to get an interception and run it down for a touchdown. I mean, it's just so much shit. The flea flicker. They showed the flea flicker the last game they played. Why are they going to show the flea flicker before the Super Bowl? So now, again, your defense is on the hill because they don't know when the hell the flea flicker is going to come out. You know what I'm saying? Now, remember, Edelman is not only a receiver, he's a former quarterback in college, you know, high school and college. So now you got to worry about Edelman taking down Tom Brady's spot. So how do you do that? You know, so it's the Florida game. Everything's rolling. The Florida game, and now all of a sudden they break the huddle, and Tom Brady is initially in the quarterback spot. He audibles out. Edelman comes into the quarterback spot. Brady goes into the receiver spot. What do you do? Do you call a timeout because you're not prepared for this shit? You know what I'm saying? Or do you just let the play unfold and you get burned? Because again, they're doing another version of the damn flea flicker. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much shit that they can do. And with 2 weeks, I can't bet against Belichick, dog. I just can't. I would love to, because I just can't, though. I can't. So I'm saying 27-17, somewhere near that. I think it's not going to be that high scoring of a game. And I say the Patriots do it. I really do.
So the funny thing about it is I actually had that score also, but I had that exact score, 27-17. But where I can't bet against the Patriots, I can't bet against the fact that they will put up points. So I believe that they're going to put up more than 21 points.
Right.
But I can't say that. They can't win every year, and they haven't won every year. So for me to say
you're
they
right.
can't bet against them would suggest that they have 6 Super Bowls, and they don't have 6 Super Bowls. They have 4 together. You know what I'm saying? So they've lost 2 Super Bowls. And when you look at how they've lost their Super Bowls, they've lost those Super Bowls. I think the 2 they lost, they were overwhelming favorites.
Favorites.
Number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2. Not only were they favorites, the other team was extremely underestimated because they didn't have that flair or that flamboyancy or that heat coming from that team, like the Patriots. So when you look at a team like that, and everybody in America is counting them out. First of all, they have a lot more to play for than the Patriots in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, number two. This is the damn Super Bowl. Everyone plays different in the Super Bowl. Everyone.
I agree with that.
So to expect this team to come in there and just lay an egg, in a sense, and not far as, you know, putting up no points, but just to come in there and stink up the place, to me, isn't a safe assumption. It's a safe assumption to me that this team is going to go out there and ball out of control. Offenses match up well. So, like I said before, it's going to come down to the defense. And I feel like the Atlanta Falcons defense will come at Tom Brady's head like it's never been came at before. And that's going to be the difference of the game.
Okay. I respect that.
Which defense is going to cause the costly mistake? It's going to be the one mistake at the end of the game that's going to make the difference. And whichever defense gives up that or causes that mistake, if the Atlanta defense causes the Patriots to make a mistake, Atlanta's going to win that game off of that one play.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're not that far from finding out soon, and that's what's up. My coach returns today. Coach K has been out for a little over a month. My Dukies have suffered. But we've also rebounded. We had a hell of a win the other day versus Notre Dame in South Bend. We beat them by 10. We came in as underdogs because they had beaten us 5 of the 6 last 6 meetings that we had.
Duke
they beaten us 5
underdogs?
Times to our 1 victory. Yeah, Duke was underdogs winning that game.
Dang.
Man, Notre Dame has been in our ass. Notre Dame recruits very well for basketball. Since their basketball program hit on the map, they get a lot of good tall guys, man. They a lot of 4s, a lot of strong 5s. that gives us difficulty, because Duke tends to play a lot of great guards, you know what I'm saying, whom are smaller. Not necessarily always in height, but in bulk, in girth. They give up a lot of weight, where Notre Dame has been able to get a lot of good dudes that are tall and they're husky. So they've been able to handle us big time on the boards, without a doubt. So, yeah, that was a huge win for us in South Bend. And I'm hoping that momentum continues, because we need it. We're not playing for our lives at this point, but, you know, who would have thought that Duke would have been a bubble team? And if we fall many more times, we're going to become a bubble team. And with the roster that we have, there should be no reason.
Y'all ranked number 21.
Yeah, for now. We'll get into the mid. Say again.
If y'all lose this game, y'all not gonna be ranked. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
It's been
a very long time. The last time Duke was unranked, Coach was out for back surgery. So his return is at a good time. You know, it's late January, early February. The push for the playoffs, the tournament, is going on right now. You know, this week we play three top-notch opponents in the ACC. We have Carolina on Thursday. I forget who we played off top today. And then we have another game next Saturday. So it's Saturday, Thursday, Saturday. Not an easy week for us, but this is a week that tests your mettle. This is that week. This is that week that's going to test you and see if you're really tournament ready. So the way the cylinders have been hitting over the past couple of games shows me that they're ready to take that next step in the evolution. Harry Giles is playing better. He's definitely starting to get his footing. You know, let's be honest. The young man hasn't played basketball in over a year, like a year and a half. He didn't play his entire senior season. He didn't play the preseason, the exhibition games. He didn't play for up until December of last year. That's a lot of time to miss from basketball. And trying to figure out where he fits in the system. We still have yet to identify a true point guard. I don't think we're going to run with one. I think we're going to not do a point guard by committee, but do something similar to what we had to do when Shire ran the point for us. We're going to identify a cat who has the skills and do it. And I agree with Jay Billis. I think that person should be Grayson Allen. Grayson has the ability to create his own shot. He has the ability to penetrate. He knows how to. He has good court vision. He can dish. He's not short. It makes sense. I think Coach will move to that and make that a permanent fixture. And then we'll move forward. But we'll see. We'll see. Family, that is going to be it for this week. Next week, God only knows what we're going to talk about. But after this week, boy, we got to come with something. We got to come with something after this week.
Hey, I might be tired, so.
Yeah, bro. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up pretty soon, so more than likely we'll dive more into the love stuff. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. Thank my guests and his guests. Thank you, Cuzzo. We continue to do this thing, and it just keeps getting more fun. You know what I mean? You all be safe. You all be good. We will see you next week. We out. Peace!
Look.
One.